You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Hallelujah! You know, this morning what I really want to do, I've got a lot of stuff going in my head. I didn't stay up late last night. But just, I really just sense in the Lord to just encourage you today, but also carry it on for the next couple of weeks, just some of the thoughts that God really wants to launch us this year. And towards the end of last year, sounds weird, doesn't it? I was just praying a few days ago, and one of the things the Lord really put in my heart was the word expectation. Expectation. And I began to kind of explore this with the Holy Spirit. I said, what are you trying to say, Lord? And one of the things that really was really resonating in my heart was that, and you know, I hope it resonates with you, is that people have mistaken faith with expectation. What expectation and faith is, they're two different things. And that many people's heart have become sick, or hope has been deferred because of unrealistic expectations. And what I want to do this beginning of the year is actually talk to you about what expectations are, what God expects of you, of us, of me, what you expect of yourself, and whether or not as Christians, we're actually living with healthy expectations rather than unrealistic expectations. Notwithstanding that we can't live our lives with low expectations. Understand that generally when there's low to zero level of expectations, there's actually also very low level of or no productivity. If you are a business leader, or if you work for a company, companies have KPI expectations of you, because if they don't do that, the company won't go forward, right? So from a natural perspective, without expectations, you will live a life that produces nothing. This is absolute, because you're going to start inadvertently to make choices based upon your expectations. There's a phenomenon in pop psychology. I say pop psychology because I'm not a psychologist. It just pops once in a while in my head. Right? And this phenomenon is called the expectancy something. I can't remember it now. It stopped popping. But it's called the placebo effect, right? What happens is that the level of your expectation can determine the results in your life, right? So they've done the studies. You've heard these studies before, where they've given people medicines and other people placebo, and they discovered just by their anticipation expectancy, people that have received placebos actually got better. Some people say that's the power of the mind, right? But couple that with faith and the belief in the truth of the realities of the promises of God, you've got an incredibly unstoppable child of God facing 2017. Are you with me? The negative side, or the unhealthy side of expectation, is that we can start to put unrealistic expectations. And what happens when you have unrealistic expectations? You know what happens? Guess what you get? Disappointment. Now, I've been very ill over the last month, in fact. You know, I've had to do some tests. Thank you for your prayers. I'm on the mend. Praise the Lord. And but there's a sermon on that already that God's giving me, so I'll reserve that for February. But here's the point. I began to take stock of my life through my sickness, and I'm thinking to myself, just about a week before I got sick, I played 40 minutes of basketball at Runaway Bay in the Open League, and I survived the next day at the age of sub 49. Right? I was jumping, I was shooting, I found my groove, and James and I went for training the other day, and I was sore for 2 days. And because of my chest not getting enough kind of oxygen at the moment, I was suffering. Every 15 minutes, I got to take a rest, whatnot, you know. And so I thought to myself, man, you know, is this age or what? And my doctor told me it's age, right? And I kind of want to refuse to believe that. And I realized something, that when I was younger, and I was reminiscing with James, I said, James, remember when I was in my 30s and we played ball? Remember what I used to do, right? And I was impressed with myself for a moment, right? And the more I remember it, the better I used to be, okay? And I realized something, because of the limitations of my life, that I can still increase my level of expectations and make choices, but I also need to be aware of the limitations and the boundaries that God has placed in my life. So how do we balance that and live a very successful Christian life at the same time? See, this is the key, because success is not about what the world says it is in your life in 2017. It's about you achieving what God has called you to do. And what God's called you to do is not what your neighbor next door has God called them to do. It's about running your race so clearly and in such a focused way that you will achieve all that Christ has called you to do in 2017. Not what you set yourself to do necessarily, but what Jesus set you to do. And that is why the first 40 days of 2017, I have set aside for myself 40 days of seeking the face of God to get His direction clearly of what He wants me to do rather than what I want to do. And let me give a plug for Inquire 40. You can register yourself so you can get the daily devotions of that. I started and I did a video blog today. We might play it at the end of the service. But it's going to be on the website as well. And I'm just going to do these blogs along the way as to what God is saying. Amen? Are you with me? So somewhere, folks, somewhere along here, we need to target the level where faith meets your hope, which is your expectations, and the promises of God. It is at this level where reality and the supernatural meets, and something of the invisible realm begins to manifest themselves in the natural realm. Are you with me? You cannot live your Christian life with no sense of expectations. I can guarantee you, if you go to a congregation where everybody is expecting God to move, you will most likely see miracles, signs, and wonders. What is that? Is that willpower? No, no, no. Because heaven responds to your godly expectations. It's agreement. You getting it? And I want you to expect God to do great things this year. But over the next couple of weeks, I also want to talk about the dynamic of expectations to make sure that we are expecting, our expectations are at a level of a spiritual health. That we're not deluded, right? At all, right? So for me, I know I can't jump and dunk the hoops, right? But I can still score. I can still defend. I know I probably can't play 40 minutes on the game every week, right? So I can start off the bench and still make a difference. See, God never called you to be the hero. He called you to make a difference. Amen. And 2017 is going to be a year where God is calling us to really make a difference. I can't wait for February to come when I get to share the vision for us together collectively that God's really been putting in my heart and what God's going to do. And I'm really, really excited about that. And some of the initiatives that the Lord has really put in my heart that we want to pursue in the new year. Amen? Proverbs 23, verse 7. It's always misquoted. The King James says this. How many of you know this verse by heart? The King James Version says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? Now, if you took that in context, it's really talking about some guy who comes to your dinner table, pretends is not hungry, and eats everything. Right? Have you had those dinner guests? I don't really want to eat anything. But if you insist, open up your fridge. You know, so he's really talking about deception. That scripture's talking about deception, about somebody who tries not to be someone, but his heart always betrays him. Everything that you're going to learn this year, everything you're going to hear this year, is never going to change your life if it stays in your head. You'll become the most informed Christian. And I tell you what, I'm going to study and I'm going to preach a good word. And you're going to have some of the best teaching, not only from me, but from our ministry team this year. This is going to be a great year where you're going to get some amazing teaching in this church. Doesn't matter who teaches. I believe this. God really showed me that there's going to be an amazing sowing of seeds this year into the hearts of people. But the problem is never the seed. The problem always is the state of our hearts. Jesus said it's the soil. Jesus never said that it was the mind that was the problem, but it was a soil which happens to be the heart of man. So I'm going to get you prepared this year. That if you prepare your heart, because as you think, you can say, great preaching, pastor. Next week, do complete opposite to what you've learned on a Sunday. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can come in this church and eat and take and partake of the Holy Spirit and partake of the move of God. You can get healing in this church. You can see signs and wonders breaking out everywhere this year and still be not changed. Walk out the same way that you walked in. Still cynical, still offended, still unforgiving, and still angry, and still, you know, depressed, and see whatever else. You see, God doesn't want to deal with your mind. He wants to deal with your heart. And out of your heart, your life flows. People think that, you know, he says, you know, guard your heart for out of it, the issues of life, you know, flow. The reality is you cannot stop the issues of life that is already in your heart. You can put on a veneer, look good, and say nice things to a certain group of people because you don't want to be embarrassed. And yet when you're in the close quarters of people that are willing to listen to your complaints, you gossip about other people. You can be as two-faced as you want in the body of Christ, but it's your heart that God sees. I really, really do believe this, that this year God really wants our hearts. Come on, somebody. He wants your heart. And there's going to be some things that you're not going to agree with one another. Hello, somebody. How many of you agree with one another? You know, there's one thing we all agree on. You know what that is? Jesus is Lord. Come on, somebody. And He is on the throne. And He is at the head of the church. And we are one in body, one baptism. Amen? One spirit. Right? We all agree on that. And there are some times where there's going to be some things said and some people are going to say some things so you may not agree, but that's okay. But if your heart is guarded by the love of God. What flows out of you is God's love. I was speaking to somebody just not long ago, and you know, some people think that guarding your heart is about setting up a wall so people can't hurt you. Most people think that guarding your heart is setting up walls. Thank you so much for handing those water out. But to guard your heart does not mean to set up barriers so people don't hurt you. Because understand, when the Bible says guard your heart for the issues of life flow out of it, what that indicates is that your heart is meant to be consistently open. Because there's a flow. Somebody say flow. Something is meant to be flowing from your heart. So if you set up a barricade, nothing can flow out. Are you there? Have you heard people say this before? I don't want to go to church anymore because people are hypocrites. Right? So they miss out on the blessings of being in the community of believers. Right? Or some people say, I don't want to trust another person anymore because I've been hurt by another person. Or I don't want to trust a pastor or a leader. I don't want to serve anymore because I've been hurt before. Guess what happens? The flow of life stops. Because what they've done is they stonewalled everything. It's like taking antibiotics. You kill the good bacteria and the bad bacteria at the same time. Right? You can only do that for a short period of time. Right? So when the Bible talks about the issue of life and your heart being guarded, it really is speaking about it this way. When it's speaking to the heart, you must always remember when God speaks of the heart, He also speaks of His love. So when the Bible says to guard your heart, it means to wrap your heart inside the only thing that can guard it from fear, from anxiety, and from everything else. You know what that is? It's the love of God. When your heart is wrapped and guarded by God's love, guess what happens when someone offends you? You can't be offended. Guess what comes out of you? Forgiveness. The tragic story of a young boy that died recently in Logan City in Rochdale area. My wife lived in that region. And in the midst of that tragedy, how many of you heard that in the news just recently? Springwood, the boy got run over by a 24-year-old guy that was speeding. And the parents, the first thing that they did was forgave. And the first thing that goes through your mind is that they must be a Christian, right? Is that what you think? Well, their pastor was there, and I think he was the pastor. Was he the pastor, James? So how are they able to do that? Because that is inhuman. That is unnatural. I don't know about how many of you love your kids. If something happened to your kids and some crazed driver runs over your kid who is innocent, how would you feel? Can you immediately forgive them? You'll be going through questions in your mind why it happened to you. You're going to be going through why did God allow that to happen. You're going to be looking for all the logical reasons why a tragedy that is so unwarranted for the innocent could ever take place for you, especially if you're a faithful man or a woman of God. Imagine carrying that into the new year. Did you face a new year losing one of your children, not of their fault? And yet your response is forgiveness. How do people do that unless their heart is guarded by the love of God so that life could flow out of it? Instead of death and confession and blaming, life flowed out. But are you hearing me? God wants you to have life, man. In order for you to have life, you need to have your heart guarded and embedded in His love. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In all your expectations and everything, all your goals and your choices, the way you see people, is going to impact the way your confession is going to impact what you're going to be committed to. I discovered something a long time ago, that the world can't live according to my rules. It's a shame. At least that's what I thought. But that we are all working out this journey with God in our imperfection. And the last thing I need to do to you, and for you to me, and for you to one another, is judgment. Because I just have no idea the deep things that God is doing in your life. And you have no idea the deep things that God is doing in my life. Amen. Let's lift our expectations, man. From here, let's find that equilibrium where our faith and our hope and the revelation of the promises of God, and we expect that. And I'll close it this way, because it's pretty hot up here. There is a couple in the Genesis, in the book of Genesis, and I love this couple. In Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, leave your father's household and your country and go to the land I'm going to show you. About a few verses into that, about fourth verse, Abraham went and began his journey of believing God, and God started to take stuff out of his life. And along the way, God promises him and says, I'm going to make you a father of nations. And you will not be called Abram, but called Abraham, which is father. And I will give you a son. Abraham complains around Genesis chapter 15. Abraham loses hope. And he says, when God reminded him the promise, Abraham says, hang on, God, my wife is getting older, right? He was about 75 years old when God promised him. Granted that they kind of lived a lot longer in those days, but the reproductive system was kind of shut down around that time, right? So at that time that God spoke to him, he says, he starts to doubt halfway through, and God says, come out, get out of your tent, I'm going to show you something. He shows him the stars, and it says, look at all the stars. And Abraham says, okay, I got it back. He had to lift his expectations again. Because somewhere along the way, he lost it. He went from, yes, Lord, to Genesis 15, when he says, God, I got nobody to hand my inheritance to except my servants. I got no family. And God brought him back to the promise. And at that point, his faith lifted and said, yes, the stars. That's what you promised me. You see, every time your expectation is lowered, you need to go back to the revelation of what God said about you. You're not targeting anything that's outside of what God said. God, you said this. I'm going after what you said. I'm not trying to be a hero. Just going after what you said. Are you with me? Around Genesis 17, God speaks to him. At this point in time, he's already had Ishmael. He couldn't wait. He thought, well, you know, the system's shutting down. I might as well do something about it. Sarah had this great idea. Let's help God. Come on, somebody. Ishmael's born. It became a thorn to the promise of God. But in the midst of that mistake, God speaks to him. This is why you can't judge people in their weakness, because you don't know the deep things that God is doing in their lives. Come on, somebody. Huh? And God says to Abraham, sends the angels in Mamre and speaks to Abraham while he was speaking to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17. You can check it out yourself. Just giving you a bit of a kind of snapshot here. Sarah was eavesdropping. Right? She eavesdropped, and the angels begin to say, you know, by this time this year, you're going to have a child. This is what's going to happen. Begins to recount two chapters after 15. Begins to tell him what's going to happen. And in that moment, how many know you can't hide from God? Come on, somebody. You cannot hide your heart from God. The angel reads Sarah's heart. The Bible tells us this. Sarah overheard in the other tent, and she began to laugh. And in that laughter, it was not a laughter of, yes. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't a, yes, we're going to have a baby laughter, right? It was like, is he kidding me? Is God for real? It was cynicism. It was doubt. It was fear. Chapter 18. Well, before we get to chapter 18, the angel turns to Abraham and says, God promised you this. Why is your wife laughing? And she comes out and she says, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing. Come on, somebody. You know what? You know, God knows what you say in secret. Oh, come on, somebody. Right? You tell me you love me, but you hate me in secret. God sees that. But that's not true because here everybody loves me. I hope. Right? At least Brendan loves me. I know that. All right? Don't tell me what he says in secret, Liz. But God knows every word and every attitude. And sometimes we wonder why God doesn't come through. Because there are some attitudes that we have that we're not even aware of that we have. Because God is the one that judges our hearts. In fact, the angel says, no, she didn't just laugh. She said this to herself. How could God do this? I'm past childbearing. Why would God do this? In chapter 18, God renews the promise to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, surely your wife will bear child. At this point, Abraham, around about verse 12 of chapter 18 in Genesis, he begins to laugh. And he says the same thing. But for some reason, God did something because of the journey that Abraham has. Abraham said this, and he comes to the last part of the stripping away of his life. I hope you're getting this. He says, this is way too late. This is 25 years after the promise. How could this happen? And then Abraham says, why don't you just make the promise happen through Ishmael? Abraham has loved his son so much that he said, surely God can do things through what I love. God can do things through what I've done. But God's got a different agenda for you than your ideas for 2017. God wants to do things in your life because he's done it, not because you've done it. Come on, somebody. Are you there? And God says, I'll take care of Ishmael, but you will have a son, and he will be called Laughter. In our weakness, God never changes his promise. If you could just maintain your expectation and your hope, folks, 2017, it's going to be the best year yet for you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.